Okay, boys. So today's daf is daf pay test. We're holding the third line from the top of the Omud. I'm sure all of you noted the fact that the first two lines, which were quotes from the Toichecha, and the Brachas that we leaned yesterday. So we both leaned in the Torah as well as we learned in the daf about the Toichecha as well as the Brachas that followed. The Brachas that are cited here in the Gemara. Anyway, back to the Gemara, the third line, Makom Shenagu Lomud Begasa. So we learned back in the Mishnah yesterday that one has to be very, very careful if you happen to be a storekeeper and you happen to be weighing items. For instance, if you're a grocer and selling vegetables, potatoes, tomatoes, whatever, by weight, you have to make sure that you have Evan Shleimo V'Tzedek Yaloch, Eifa Shleimo V'Tzedek Yaloch. We had a whole bunch of details about those halachas in the Mishnah, and now we're going to continue further in the Gemara. First, the Gemara quotes a simon, a mnemonic, simon ein ma'ayinim ein goychim begardamin ubalitra shloisha vi eser nefesh mishkolois nemachik ovav loisasu loiyasa. Turn about. We have a series of braises all going into the fine details about how you measure items when you're selling them. That means that in certain communities, the minhag was when you sold lemushel tvua or sugar, flour, or whatever, some places they did it level, and some places they did heaping portions. And in each one of those communities, they had a charge for whatever the commodities that you were selling. For instance, if you're talking about flour, some people in some places they charge $3 per pile of flour, pound or whatever it was. And other communities it wasn't mochuk, mochuk means leveled out, but rather it was begodish. It was a heaping, like you say, heaping teaspoonful. So it was a heaping tower of flour when it was sold. So you should always keep with the mini kamokim. And I say moichim mochim shegoichim, don't level it out if the custom is to make it into a heap. Then goichin don't make even mokim shemoichin in those places where they level it out. And Rishbam says even if either the koine or the moicher are moicher, in other words, the standard price in the community for such a quantity of flowers, l'mashal chlais, $3. So in those places where they're goichin, obviously you're getting more. Those places where you're getting moichin, you're getting less because of getting a level instead of getting a heap.
Doesn't it go by weight? So
certain things go by weight, but
if it's an open container, if it's an open container, you ever get go to a deli and they slice, they give you an extra two slices.
No, I never got. Never got. Yeah,
not in Romanian in Chicago.
Anyway, those types of items. Sugar and flour today are all prepackaged.
Yeah.
In good old days, they weren't prepackaged. You bought them open. So, in some places, when they would put it down on the scale or in the container, they would fill it up to the top of the container. Let's say you wanted a container full. One container was a gallon. And you asked, I want a gallon of sugar or of flour. So, in some places, they as soon as it hit the top of the container, that's it. Now you ask for a gallon. Some places they were more generous and they gave you a goddish and they gave it heaping over the top.
And they're charging you a gallon price.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So what the Gemara is telling us is that in the place where the common custom of all the mochrim was not to give you a level gallon but a heaping gallon that was extending beyond the top of the kli, you're not allowed to be mochik even if the lokeach says, I'm moichel, it's fine, I don't need it. I don't need so much, this is good. And the same thing the other way around. They go to moichel, most places, in that particular community. The minig was that they were mochek, that they did it level. Now, don't do a godish. And even if the moichel says, it's fine, I don't mind if we give more to Yanko Smith. He's one of our favorite customers, let's give more. No, don't do it. Everybody should be treated exactly the same, and don't make any distinctions. We'll see in a minute why. Talmud Lomer, how do I know that ein moichin the ein goichin? Because it says in the pasuk, eifa shleima v'tzedek yeloch, and we're just asking for the words eifa shleima. Eifa shleima means it should be a perfect Eva, the way it is nohug in this community. What happens if they say, it's not a question that the one party is mochel or mevater, but rather we're going to adjust the price. Normally for this type of gallon, where we are usually given godish, it's heaping, we usually go and charge a dollar. As a result of the fact that we're going to be mochek, I'm only going to charge you 85 cents or 90 cents because we're taking off some of the extra quantity. And give him a discount. Or what happens if I'm goinish, goidesh, but mochim shemochim? In that place, most of the other grocers, the standard community custom was moichin its level. I'm going to go and give you a godish, but since the normal price is a dollar per gallon, I'm going to charge you a dollar and a quarter, a dollar 30, or whatever. I'm going to charge you more. Allah he said, how do you know shame shayim lo? You should not listen to him. Go and do it by the standard custom. Tamalayim, it says the pasuk eifa shleima v'tzedek yelach. Where does it say v'tzedek? Why taka can't you? After all, if he's giving you more quantity, what's the problem that you add or subtract? He's charging him more, or he's giving him a discount. Everything sounds fine. So Rishbam says it's very, very simple. What we're talking about is that fortunately, people that come by from other communities, some of them decide to go and settle down in this community, and if they're going to go and watch how Yankel Smith, the very well-known Erlich Yid, who's the grocer, and he does a great job, that he's doing it begodish, even though everybody else is doing b'mechika, he may think that that is the community standard. Everybody does it begodish, or vice versa. Everybody does it mechika. And that newcomer, if he opens up shop, he might mimic the custom of Yankel Smith, figuring that that's the community standard, without realizing that's not the community standard. And he won't know that there was a special, exceptional deal here where they either were poches min adamim or mosif al hadamim. He'll think that this was, you know, a dollar per regular gallon. And when he's going to go and sell it to customers, he's the mushal going to go and give it level, even though the normal community is, they give it big godish. Maybe not that he's doing it unfairly or wrongly, because he just doesn't know. Or it could be in fact that some people will be tricksters and try to deceive. And they'll say, oh, since I see that Yankel Smith, who everybody knows in Erlich Yid, and he goes and sells it, the Mechika, so I'm also going to sell the Mechika. But he doesn't realize that even Yankel Smith always sells it, the Gedisha, as a Kaddish. On that particular occasion where he happened to have noticed it, he did the Mechika, but he gave him a break. He gave a break of a quarter, a third, or whatever the discount was. He didn't know that, or he doesn't want to know about it. So therefore, to make sure that everybody plays the same game honestly and fairly without mistakes, just go and do it standard. Don't go and do a godish, a mokka mechika, or a faket.
But they can charge the price whenever they want up to a six.
That's a separate story. Here we're talking about the standard that everybody knows that a pound of flour or a pound of sugar or a gallon of it is exactly the same throughout the community. Everybody changes the same, the charge is the same, dollar or $5. So that wasn't the issue. The issue is that you're giving more or giving less. Is that a problem? Yes.
It actually touches on this. So is this becomes a problem for Ona? Because if you're starting to change the quantities, you start to distort what the shahr is. Is that what it's derivative of? And therefore, if somebody's being overcharged or if a merchant is undercharging, it becomes more difficult to determine that.
What you're saying is correct. You could have on top of that yet another isur of ayna. In fact, the Rishbam says if a person is doing this intentionally, you don't need to come on to the pasuk of eifa shleim of tzedek. You have another pasuk that says loisasu avul b'mishpat b'mishkol u'b'masura. You're now going to do an avla. What means an avla? Go and sell less for a higher price, or sell. Exactly. In other words, you overcharge people. If you do that intentionally, you have a leisasu avil, you have a potential ayno'a problem, you have a potential gezel problem. Gemara say, over and above that, we have this pasuk of eifa shleima v'tzedek. This pasuk has come to tell you, even if your intentions are good, that you, the mocher, and the lekeach have agreed to the price and have agreed here to do a machika m'mokim godish or godish m'mokim machika, and they're going to be moisif on the price or poiches on the price to take care of any oino issues or any leisas or oval issues. All of that is great, but other people that don't know what's going on, they may learn from this to do something different, and it's going to come out to potential problems.
The Marasayim problem?
No, it's not a Marasayim problem at all. It's a problem that other people that don't know what's going on, and they see, oh.
Yeah, but the merchant wants to be generous and throw an extra couple of slices. Grapes or whatever it is, just to be, you know, gain his business, let's say.
That's
a problem?
That's not a problem. The only problem is if other people that don't know what's going on are going to learn from that. And they're going to say, oh, he gives higher, he gives lower. And you're not differentiate. You want to go make everybody should be exactly the same, so there shouldn't be any potential for either intentional or unintentional price gouging or quantity.
A level playing field?
A level playing field. Oh, great. That was great.
Shelly, did you hear that?
All right.
If he would have been here, he would have heaped praise on what he did.
Okay,
let's continue on. Turn around. Next price. So now, this is virtually the same. Here we're not talking about filling up a container higher or lower, equal or level or heaping, but rather we're talking about weighing on a scale. Now you remember that years ago, you used to have not electric or electronic or AI scales, but you used to have real scales.
Toledo was
the big. Toledo, okay. Toledo scales, yeah. Fine. So you used to go put weights in one and you used to put the schair in the other, and you would make sure that...
Moznayim.
A
Moznayim. It didn't say you're going to put your hand. Sometimes they put the hand to weigh.
Yeah.
So the weights.
Give him a hand.
You mean to weigh it down. The thumb on the scale.
The word ma'ainim means to go and have the scales exactly same level, balanced. Don't do the makim shemachriyim, where the minigah makim is to tilt it a little bit. Remember, we had in our Mishnah that they had different customs in different communities. In some communities, they did a ma'ainim, which means they did it totally level. And some communities, they did it with hachra. Hachra means they made sure that the schoyer that was being sold came down a little bit further than where the weights were, and what's the distance between the one part of the scale and the other part, it had to be a tefach. And the places where they were ma'ainim, where they did it totally level, balanced, then the Mishnah said you have to go and add on something in addition to make up for the fact that you're not doing this hachra. And how much did you have to make up for? We said it depends whether it's lach or yovesh, and by lach it says you have to add 1%. So whatever the amount that was agreed, you have to add 1% as a, in a sense, a freebie. So Menayin Sheba, putting that aside, yes, you have a problem.
That's like 4 inches, right?
Yes.
So that's a big, and in weight, that's a big...
But it's coming down only 2 inches, because this one comes down 2, the other one goes up 2. So it's really not a full foot. It's out of this... That this side goes down 4 inches. As soon as this goes down 1 inch, the other one comes up 1 inch. So 2 inches, this one goes. Right, so yeah, it's only different.
So it's supposed to be
two fingers.
Two, yeah, but that's a lot. It's
going to
be.
So are you selling diamonds or are you selling feathers?
Pistachio nuts, which are expensive. It goes a pair on
the nuts.
Anyway, so menayin she'ein ma'ainim m'mokim shemachrim ve'im ma'chrim m'mokim shemainim. Same thing as we had until now. Tamaloyme even shleima. So this is the same drasha, based on the same pasuk, but different words. For those of you that have the Torah Ora Sholim, in my Gemara, it's number 5. You have Evan Shleima V'Tzedek Yalach, Eifa Shleima V'Tzedek Yalach. The Evan, of course, is the weights, and the Eifa is the volume. So exactly what we just spoke about a moment ago, we're now applying the same rules and regulations regarding weighing on scales. It's very important that we talk about this now during El, because as we know shortly, our lives will also be on a scale, and Kadosh Baruch Hu should be machria all of us letova and lechai. Anyway, so turn about. Menayin shemayinim mokim shemachrimei machrimu mokim shemayin. Tam aloyim again. It says even shleima. It's got to be perfect. Umenayin shem omar reini ma'ayin mokim shemachriim v'lifchoy shleima nedamim. You know what? I'm going to go and do a ma'ayin, and therefore I'm going to give him a little bit less because we don't have this tefach, the 4 inches, the 4 fingers of hachra of tilting. Or very machriya, because I'm going to be machriya, I'm going to charge him another nickel, another quarter. How do you know Shein Shreva Lei Tam? Loi Me Eben Shreva Vat Tzadek Yolach. We want everything to be perfect, not only in terms of the weight and the size and the amount that's being paid for, but that this will continue in the community. We're not going to have any either intentional or unintentional deception, etc. Om Rav Yehuda Misura. It says in the pasuk Vayilcha Bebeischa. This is number 6 in the Torah. Vayilcha Bebeischa Eifa VeEifa Gdoyle Utan. So Parshat Pshat in the pasuk is obvious. When you happen to be at home or in your store, or you happen to be selling various wares, Vayilcha Bebeischa, don't have, excuse me, in your home or in your store, Eifa VeEifa Gdoyle Utan, different sizes of containers. Now, of course, if you're selling a half a gallon as opposed to a gallon, or a quart instead of a gallon, obviously you're going to have different containers. That goes without saying. We're talking about different gallon containers. One is a little bit bigger and one is a little bit smaller. Now, why would you have that? Because if you happen to be a retailer, a person who wants to engage in deception and thievery, he could perhaps have one that is a larger one. And when he goes to the wholesaler, he says, I want from you a gallon of flour, and I have my gallon container, and then the gallon is a gallon plus. So then he fills it up all the way to the top, and then that same person, now when he sells retail to his customers, he also has a gallon container, but it's 2% or 5% smaller than the other container. So obviously he is engaging in a certain degree of deception and thievery, and therefore that's the parshat shot in the pasuk. However, Rav Yehuda Misura is darshaning it in a very, very interesting way. He starts off, Lo yelecha beveischa. Sir, if you're going to engage in deceptive practices, Lo yelecha beveischa, there's going to be poverty in your home. You're not going to have food. You're not going to have money. You're not going to be able to pay for your mortgage or your rent payments. Matam, what's the reason why? Shneifa v'eifa. Because you didn't engage in business honestly. You were a crook. So Yehoch Beveischa, you're not going to have food in your home. You know why? Because Eif of Eid. And the pasuk continues on. Le'yelecha bekischa, even va'oven. And again, he dashes the same thing. Le'yelecha bekischa, you're not going to have any money in your pocket. You know why, Mata? Yishom even va'oven. Because you engaged in thievery and deception. Aval, what should you do? Even shleim of a tzedek, yelech. Eif of shleim of a tzedek, yelech. What does he mean? Going back to the pasuk in number 5, although pasuk pshat means even shleim of a tzedek yelach, you should have as a grocer, as a store owner, or whatever, only an even shleim of a tzedek, that it should be perfect and it should be done correctly, etc. Way the Gemara is darshaning again, it's the same type of drasha. If you have even shleim of a tzedek semicolon, then yelach, then you're going to have a shefa of bracha. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to send out min hashamayim whatever you need, yelach, then you'll have. Why? Because you're engaging in business honestly and not through any type of deception. So Zokti Mora Baita, go back to the Gemara now. Avol, but Evan Shleim of Tzedek, if you're going to have in your home or in your store an Eifa Shleim of Tzedek, oh, yelach, then you'll have Baruch Hashem Parnasa. Eifa Shleim of Tzedek, yelach, you'll have Parnasa. Zokti Mora Baita, Tana Rabban. Again, we're focusing on this yielach. Eved shleim v'tzedek yielach. What does it come to tell you? Malam shemamidin agardman limdois, or limidois. Veimamidin agardman lishaarim. What does this all mean? Just like we even have today, many communities have a special weights and measures department, and they send out inspectors from time to time to the various stores to make sure that everybody is keeping to the letter of the law, and that all of the containers are the way they're marked, and all of the scales are done correctly. So they have agardamin of these inspectors. So you have mamet agardamin lamidois. Lamidois means to check out the people's scales, and the people's containers, and the people's, wherever you have a container that has shenosois, it has markings, and it's all done correctly. However, don't bother going and appointing agardamin l'sha'arim. L'sha'arim means for how much people are charging. Why wouldn't you go and appoint for people that are charging? Says Rishbam, because if somebody wants to overcharge his customers, guess what? His customers will learn very, very quickly, and they'll go across the street to the people that don't overcharge. And the overcharger is going to lose customers because he's not competitive in his pricing. So you don't have to worry about prices. The customers, the oilim, will know the price. Not every person will be able to go and tell whether this container only holds a gallon or only 90% of a gallon, or whether these weights, these scales haven't been weighted down in one way or another. That people don't know. That you have to have inspectors. But for pricing, you don't have to worry about it. Now the Gemara tells us a story. The Bein Nesia, Ukimul Agardimin, Beilam Midois, Beilam Sha'arim. From the Beis Anasi, they decided to go and have inspectors for both purposes, both Midois and Sha'arim. Omali Shmuel and Karna. Shmuel and Karna were colleagues, but apparently Shmuel was also a Sheshtikl Rebbe of Karna. We've had already a number of times the Yoni Goyla,
yes,
and the Gemara and the Rishbam, where he says, from Sechta Sanhedrin, Shmuel Vakarna, the Yoni Goyla. Anyway, so Shmuel said to Karna, Poik Tani Lu, go to the Beis Anasi and tell them, we learned in the Brisa just now, Mamina Abgadim Lu Midois, Ve'im Mamidin Agadim Lu Sharm. You don't have to bother being Mamid for Sharm. So Shmuel, of course, anticipated that Karna would follow suit and do what he's supposed to.
But if it's the Bein Nesia, yeah, and they're Diane Gola, what are they doing in Eretz Yisrael by the Bein Nesia? It feels a little bit like geographically it doesn't shtim.
Very good.
17 yeah. Says the ex-large.
Yeah, the Bein Nesia, it was in Bavo.
It was in Bavo? Okay, so it's the Resh Galusa. It's called Bein Nesia, but it's the Resh Galusa. Okay.
The ex-large.
Because he was the
Yeah.
Of the... No, it was a typo here. She was a Resh.
I wouldn't say choose it, but I guess that was the way it was exactly called in exile. In Babel, people would refer to it as the presidency, even though they're technically not the presidents. Okay. Anyway, Navig Dorish Lahu. So what did Karna do unexpectedly? He went and announced, Mamina Garmin, Bein Lamidois, Bein Lisha'arim. And obviously Shmuel was a little bit
surprised. At least.
Surprised, yeah. Amaleis, he said to Mashim Chetan, remind me, what's your name? My name is Karna. Typically, Karna B'enei. You should have a Karen coming out of your eyes. In fact, he had such a Karen. Now, what exactly does a Karen mean? We all know what a horn looks like. However, the Gemara doesn't mean it literally, because if you look at Gimel, the Maseiros Hashas, he brings the Oruch, the Oiz Gimel, which is on the second line, go down three or four lines. He brings Ba'oruch Pirish, that it was Nafkalei Pirish Karen Shel Basar Yotze Be'enai. In other words, he got a little additional flesh growing out of the eye, and in fact, some a pimple, good, and some say kind of really means a cataract. That he got a cataract on his eye. It's all nishkefer. Now that's what we have over here. Now there's an interesting Pirush Rishbam Hu Ikri. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but it's on the right hand margin. Apparently, that's a different manuscript from the Rishbam. Now you have to only find where it is.
It's right before a few narrow lines up.
Thank you. So before you get to the wide lines in the Rishbam, go in the regular Rishbam, go up about 5-6 lines, and you see it says Nafakle Karna Be'enei, says the Pirush Rishbam Ikri, Loi Garsinan, Loi Havachi. It didn't happen. So notwithstanding the fact that it says in our Gemara that this Karen grew out, it didn't really happen after all. Okay, anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, the Iu Keman Savar, why did Karna make this statement, Bein Lamidois, Bein Lisharim? Ki Savar, Ki Adi Amar, Rami Bar Chama, Amri Yitzchak, Mamid and Makar, Bein Lamidois, Bein Lisharim, Bnei HaRamoyim, the people that are fooling others. What means that they're fooling others? That they, in fact, do overcharge, but they tell people that the reason why we're charging more than the competition is because we throw in more. The competition, they sell a dozen eggs for $5 a dozen. It's true, we sell it for $8, but if you would notice, there's a secret compartment underneath, and there are not 12 eggs there, there's a baker's dozen, or the 15 eggs, or 18 eggs, and that's why we charge more. So that's he's using Ramoy. So that's why you have to have people, even on the prices, making sure that the prices are commensurate with the goods that are being sold. Rishbam says another way of fooling people is that a grocer has different types of chitim, different qualities. He has AAA and a single A. So he puts down on the pile, at the very, very top, the most beautiful chitim that he has. Then underneath that, And then he scoops it all up and he sells it. So then, that's why on pricing you also have
to... And switch?
Yeah.
That's another one of those.
Go to the supermarket, Trader Joe's, and do it 2 days.
Okay. Anyway.
Grape, they put the sweet grapes on the top, and then you see people will taste, oh, they're great, and then they take them home and they're
fine. Tasteless. Sour grapes. Okay.
Jenny!
Hey! Okay, so let's continue on. So if you want to buy toner bun, how you mabakish me menu litra shoyke loy litra, chatzil litra shoyke loy chatzil litra, revia litra shoyke loy revia litra. The Gemara on the surface is very, very puzzling. As you want to ask my kamashman, person comes into a store and he says, "I'd like to have a litter." So guess what the grocer does? Here, he shoyke loy, he waits for him a litter. He says, "I only need a half." Okay, so I'm going to give you a half. And he only needs a quarter, so he does a quarter. So break him on my kamashim. I mean, of course, if that's what he asked for and that's what he's giving him, well, what's the issue? So if you want to maskilinon miskali ad hachi, that we go and do shkolim or mishkolim until this point. Now, what does that mean? So Rishbam has two pshatim. Pshat number one, says Rishbam, is that the smallest of all the mishkols that we make is a revia litra. We don't make an eighth or a sixteenth or a twelfth or anything less than that. And the reason is because once they get so small that it's hard to differentiate between what the grocer says I'm selling you and what the customer thinks he's actually receiving. Because it gets into those minute quantities. 1 or 2 or 3 ounces, I don't know, it's 2 ounces, 3 ounces. So therefore, I know we're talking about Mishko, but so the point of all of this is that that's the smallest that we allow them to go and make, not smaller. So what happens if somebody doesn't want a revia litra, he only wants an eighth of a litra or whatever? So the Rishbam then take out coins. Since coins used to be worth their weight,
right.
So you'd put the coin on one side of the scale and you put the commodity on the other side of the scale and you'd weigh it that way, but you wouldn't make any types of
fixed weights
less than a revia litra. That's the first shot. Rishbam says the second shot is that you should dafka do it in these types of differentiations. You start with a full litra and then go halfway, chatzi litra, and then you go halfway, revi'at litra. Instead, do not go and make a 3/4 litra, and don't make a 2/3, and don't make a 1/5. Only these types of denominations. What's the reason why? Says Rishbam, because since it's such a stark contrast between a full litra and a chatzi litra, people will know the difference. If you're going to go and make a 3/4 litra, then people might think, oh, he gave me a full litter over here. Oh, very, very generous, very nice, I got a full litter. And really it was only 3/4. Or the other way around, from 3/4, he might think it's only half. It could cause potential confusion in the marketplace. That's why you should go and keep it to these. So, oh, Shelley, you're here. We've been waiting for you.
So what you could do is you could put a full litra on one side and a quarter on the other side, okay, and then you'll end up with 3/4.
What you have just said now is mamish the next Gemara, and I'm glad that you're here because we're dealing with very weighty issues, and therefore your input will certainly be very beneficial. Tana Rabban, Hoyim Avakish Mimenu Shloi Shiriv Litra. What happens if the person wanted to buy, for instance, 3/4 of a litter, for instance, of flesh, of meat. And there are no 3/4 litter weights. We just said that. So Leyomalai Shkoili Shloisha Rive Litra. Achas Achas. Don't go and say, you know what? Let's go and do 3 weighings each time. Since you only have a revia halitra, let's put 1 revia litra and then a second one and then a third one. No, don't do that.
Put 3/4 weights on and then you have it.
You don't have 3/4 weights. That's the whole point. They don't have it. It's a poor society. They don't have abundance of all these things. Oh, it can just add it all up.
About that. No, people are not clearly be discernible with the weights. So that the merchant sees clearly what it is that he's putting on the scale.
Both the customer as well as the merchant.
Yeah.
So for clarity, what do you do with the 3/4? Ella, let's take Shelley's advice. Shoyka litra, take a litra and put it on one side of the scale. Or maniach revia litra imabasar on the other side of the scale. Since on this side you have 1, on the other side you have 1/4, we're going to deduct 1/4 from 1, and therefore the basar will be, by definition, 3/4. So if anybody asks, where's the beef? They'll see it there clearly together with the 1/4 litra, and there won't be any issues. Feed Shelley just like you suggested. Okay, Zuti Morbite, to turn about another bright side.
If I might add.
Please.
If you
don't add, because that could be a problem with adding. Ask the exact level. Don't add. Yes. What would you like to add?
If you had 3 1/4 litras weights, one could fall off.
One could fall off, yeah, exactly. Very good. Shkoyach for all of that sound advice, and we continue on. So tomorrow by the turn of Banu Bakish Mimenu Esser Litrin. If he wanted to go and buy 10. Layoim alo shkoyli achas achas v'yechriya ele shoykele kulam abas achas v'noyten echriya echele kulam. Here we're talking about a person that did have one eser litrin weight, or multiple big litrin, maybe 2 times 5, whatever it was. Anyway, so you shouldn't go and say, let's go and be shoykel one at a time, and do 1 liter and a second liter and third liter and do it 10 times, because each time he's being machriya, he has to give that additional tefach, he's giving him a fair amount of an additional bonus. It's better he should give him 1 bonus rather than giving him 10 bonuses, right? So if you only do 1 hachra, so shoykel kulam bebasachas, when he says echre echel kulam, 1 hachra of the tefach for everything, as opposed to doing 10 times in one of those places where they're machriya, then you're going to have to go and do 10 hachras. Okay, from the Etan Rabbanan to the bottom of the Omer, to the beginning of the Omer Aleph, we should really have a picture of the art scroll. Some of you may, in fact, have one, because we talk about the various aspects of the scale. Here, maybe you turn it around for me to show it to our Chaverim.
Okay.
And now show it also to our good friend, to Brother Barry.
Show it to Mendy also?
Yes, of course.
You take a picture of it.
Okay, so now, if you see, the nefesh meznayim is the, they call it in English, the fulcrum. What is a fulcrum? It's like a tabas, like a ring, and from that comes out a bar, and from the two sides of the bar you have strings coming down or ropes coming down, holding up the cups of the scale. So you start off with the fulcrum in the middle, the bar coming out. From the bar comes down these strings that are holding up the cups. And the price is going to tell us what the shiurim have to be. So the first shiur says, Hoyim avakish mimenu, I'm sorry, Tanabana, nefesh meznayim. Nefesh meznayim again means that fulcrum, that circle here in the middle. And what happens? Tluya ba'avir, it should be hanging down from the ceiling a minimum of gimel tvachim. Ugvoyim in aretz, and the cups down below should be higher than the ground, at least shloisha tzvachim. While the kana is that rod that's in the middle of the fulcrum, that sticks out from both sides, umisna, and the strings that are coming down, holding up the cups, kana, umisna shalosh, shnei masa tzvachim, those are 12 altogether. Wow. 12 altogether means that the rod itself is 4, and each one of the two strings, the two misnas, is 4 plus 4, plus that rod is 4, so 3 times 4 is 12. That's if you're talking about the first category of Nefesh Moiznayim. Our Gemara doesn't tell us so far what we're selling or what we're buying. We'll see in a moment. Now, there are others that are Shel Tzamarim, those that have scales, and they sell wool, the Shel Zagogin, or they sell glass. Tluya Ba'aber, there it only has to be hanging down Shnei Tvachim, 2 Tvachim. And from the ground up, it has to be 2 tvachim. The kanu misses shalah, and there the rod and the strings which are coming down, those are test tvachim. How are they test tvachim? 3 tvachim is the rod in its length, and the two strings which are coming down on each side, each one is 3. So 3 times 3, you get to 9. What happens if you show chenveni, you show balabayas? What happens if you be a regular storekeeper, a grocer, or a balvas selling from his house or from his farm? It's tluya ba'aver tefach, and only has to be hanging down from the ceiling 1 tefach. Ugvayim in aretz tefach, and only has to be up from the ground a tefach. V'kana misa shaloh, where shisha tvachim. Why shisha tvachim? The rod was 2 tvachim long, and then you have the strings on each side, 2 plus 2. 2 plus 2 plus 2 is 6 all together. Mishal tortani. What's a tortani? Here we're talking about a person who has moiznaim shel kesef v'zohav uktanois hay. This belongs to a person presumably on 47th Street that is selling jewelry, and therefore you're selling expensive items, much, much smaller quantities in terms of the size. Shel tortani, tluya ba'avir, sholish etzbois, only has to be hanging 3 etzbois from the ceiling. Ugvayim in aret sholish etzbois, it only has to be from the ground up 3 etzbois. The kano misa shalah ain't your day. And the Brisa says, very unique type of Brisa, but I don't really know what the kano misna sizes are. Those you'd have to go and ask the people on 47th Street and ask for the design of their scales. Now, what is the purpose, what is the point of this in the Brisa? So first of all, Rashbam says that the reason why it has to be 3 tvachim, 2 tvachim from the ceiling or from the ground is because since you have to have a chreya each time of a tefach, what happens if you have heavy-duty types of items which you put in the cups? When you're going to have them one side of the scale coming down, it might hit the ground, and therefore you're not going to go and get the full tefach of a chreya. That's why it has to be uplifted, so that with your chreya, even though it's a heavy item,
ground clearance.
That's the word that we're looking for. It has to have ground clearance. Therefore, the bigger the item, the bigger the scale. The smaller the item, the smaller the scale. All of that, that's, Rishbam says, in each industry, in each, whatever you're selling, each trade, very good, each trade, that would be determine the size of your scale and how much ground clearance you need, both ground clearance on the bottom and ground clearance vis-a-vis the ceiling, and how large the cup or how big the rod has to be, and so on and so forth. Now notice in this brisa we had four categories. We had the nefesh miznayim, and the brisa didn't address what was being sold. The second category was the shel tzmarim, a person who's selling wool or selling glass. The third one is a regular grocer selling his, presumably, groceries. And finally, the tortanei, who presumably is in the diamond or in the gold and silver industry. The first one we didn't explain what is being sold and what is being bought. It's up to Yomara. Amar HaPapa, it's talking about digrumi. What a digrumi, that's a tap rishbam. Hein sorfein nechoshes of barzel, nafochen smiths. Sheshoikun chatiches gidoilois. Oh, these are real big. Shemei litrois biyachat. These are real big. Not 5 liter, 10 liter, 100 liter. Oh, for something like that, then you have to have more space in the scale, and you have to have more ground clearance space. So that's the reason why it has to be so much.
Won't be enough.
Sorry, once again?
Or 100 liters,
3 tefachim won't be enough.
Okay, well, go home and make an experiment. Go and buy one of these maznayims and see how it works. See how much clearance you have. Anyway, Omer Mani Bar Patish. Kedesh Omer Le'inyin Yisur and Kach Omer Le'inyin Tum Osa. What does Rumani Bar Patish mean? That we know when it comes to Hilchais Tumah V'Tahara by Kelim, a Kli is only Mekabel Tumah if in fact it's a full-blown, finished product of a Kli. If you have, for instance, Golmei Kelim means unfinished Kelim, they're not Mekabel Tumah. Here, it's not because they're Golmei Kelim if they're inappropriate Kelim for that particular trade. Since you're not allowed to use that type of kli, for instance, if you happen to be digrumi, you're a smith that is involved with tzarf and nechoshes ubarzel, and you have a scale which only is 2 tvachim ground clearance and not 3 tvachim ground clearance, so this is inappropriate for you. So, says Rishbam, if you look on the second line, le'inyin isuran, the osur lishkoil im loy asurin be'inyin zeh, if they're not constructed the way they're supposed to, so therefore you're not allowed to use it for weighing, then kachom alinyin tumas and ein mekabam tumah. Im ein asurin kach lechashivi kli, kim de osur lishkoil ben. Since I'm not allowed to use it, so what am I going to do with it? I'm going to put it in the vitrine, I'm going to put it in my bookcase. It's worthless. So therefore, it's not mekabel tumah.
The scale is not mekabel tumah, or the kli being weighed on it is not mekabel tumah?
The scale itself
mm-hmm. is to be required, but even if it's not a kli for these heavy brass ingots,
exactly.
mm-hmm. it is good for grain, and it's good for other things. So why are we saying a kli is not mekabel tumah?
So you see from this that kelim are not just objective items, it's also subjective.
But even still, it's still suitable.
Understood. But if the person who owns the scale cannot use the scale, from his perspective, it's worthless, and it's not a scale. If he hands it over to the grocer, and it's the proper size for the grocer, it will be mekabel tumah, because now you can utilize it. That's what I meant, subjective, not objective. It's this very same scale. Exactly. If the grocer uses it and it's the right size, it's mekabel tumah. If the tzarf and the choish is used and it's not the right size, it's not mekabel tumah. Okay, so all of that was fascinating. In the brisa, we had all of these different shiurim. My kamashim, what do I need a brisa for? Tanina, I have a Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, which says, chut meznayim shel chembeni, v'shel balibatim, tefach. It has to be a tefach, and therefore when we're talking about the chut meznayim, we're referring to the height from the ceiling or from the floor. So we already have that in the Mishnah. Says Imor, you're right, but Kono Mr. Shalom, it's Trichalei Deloi Tanan. But we didn't talk about the further details. The Kono, that's the rod that holds up the two cups from the two sides. And we're talking about the Mishnah. Mishnah means those strings that are coming down, which hold up the cups of the Mazayim, from the rod holding the cups from down below. So therefore, that we need in the Braisa to go and say it in much greater detail. Tonavan, we have a Braisa. Ein oisa mishkol eis lo yishol ba'at, lo yishol eivra, lo yishol gistro, lo yishol shar, mine matas. Av lo oisa hu shol tzunma v'shol tzchuches. Says Rishbam, all of these items at the outset wear off from time to time. Ba'at is tin, eivra is lead, Gistroin, says Rishbam, is an alloy of various different types of metal. Or any other type of metal. All of them can eventually wear down, and therefore, although initially this was worth a pound, a year later, if you look at it, it's only worth now 9/10 of a pound. When you say worth, it's only the weight of 9/10 of a pound. You use it so often, so many times, it's finally worn off a little bit. But the best thing is to make it out of tzunma. Tzunma, as you know, we've had from time to time throughout the Gemara, when we're talking about that this is such a solid boulder, it doesn't allow for any shrushim, any roots to go from moving to Shimon's property or Shimon to Ruvain's property. It's mafsik tzunma. So tzunma is a type of rock, which is bedrock, which is so strong bedrock, it doesn't wear off, it doesn't wear down. Or v'shal tzchuches, or made out of glass. Presumably glass can get chipped, but presumably that you can see easily, so maybe that's the reason why you're not concerned about using that as a weight. Tonarban, ein oisin ha-mechak shel delas v'neishu kal v'lo yishu matra v'neishu machbet v'oiseh shel zayif shel egev shel shorik shikma v'shel esh keraya esh barayich, esh keraya. What is this referring to? We have, again, we started off today's blat talking about your moichik to go and make sure that it's not godish, that it's heaping, but rather that it's level, that it's flat. So, a person has a mechak in his store, and every time he puts something in the container, he's mochik it, he levels it off. So now, what is this mechak made out of? Is it made out of delas? Is it made out of matchis, or any of those other things? So, you want it that it should be fair and equitable, both for the mocher and for the lokech. So don't make this leveler, this mechak, out of the last of the shuka. This is too much of a light material. So as you're going to put it, you start off with this heap, you take this the last machak to try to level it off. It's not going to do a good job. It's like a feather that it's going to push away some of the goddess on top, but not all of it. And therefore, the mocher is going to lose out, and lekeach is going to get an unfair bounty. Or the other way around. Don't make it out of matchis, because that's so heavy. Neshu machbid, what's going to happen is it's going to scoop out more than is intended. It's not just going to level it, but it's going to, in fact, scoop out some of the contents. But rather, the best materials, if you make it out of wood, shel zayis, olive wood, v'shel egoyz, nuts, shel shikma of sycamore, v'shel eshkaroya, they usually say that that's boxwood, whatever that is, also something which is not too heavy and not too light, and that would be a good machak. And similarly, Tone Rabban, we learned the Rabbi saying, Oysa the machak, tzile echad of, tzile echad kotzer, one side thick. Being thick and one side being thin. Kotzer is really, I don't know if it's that's
narrow.
The problem. Maybe it should have said tzile echad dak. But kotzer, it does mean narrow in our situation over here. That this is thick and this is thin. Why would he make a machak one side one way, one side the other way? Like we said before, the Eifa, the Eifor, the Evan, depending on who he's dealing with. If this happens to be the retailer, when he gets the stuff from the wholesaler, he says, oh, I'm going to be Mokik. I know the minute Mokim is not to go and make a Goddish, to make Mokik, and he's going to take the light side, or the Kotzer, the thin side. Since he's taken the narrow, thin side, it's only going to cut off some of the Goddish, it's going to leave some of it behind. But when he goes and sells it now to the customer, he's a retailer, he's selling to the customer, then he's going to use the side which is thick, which is going to do a much better job in leveling, and maybe even scooping out some. So therefore, rather, it's got to be the same size, both on, it should be equal on all sides. He should only go and, he should not be moichik, just one sudden leveling. Since he's only doing it one swift action, he's going to leave some of the Godish behind, and therefore the Moicher is going to lose out, and the Lekeach is going to win. And you shouldn't go and do little by little by little, because then it's going to be the other way around. Rather, what you should do is do it slowly and nicely and gently and do it once or twice or three times to go and make it fair and square for everyone. Fair and equitable.
When I was a child,
I
saw this clearly in how egg creams were made.
Egg creams?
Okay. Egg cream, they would put the glass a little tip to the side, have a spoon so that the seltzer would not rush in and create a foam, but gradually would form it, so you got a full egg cream.
Very good, that's very nice. We're going to talk about foam shortly.
Beer, right.
Mitch Hashem will see that another few lines. So, Shelley, you're really on top of it all today. Shkoyach. Tan Rabban, Ein Oizen Lebechak, we already said that. Tzili Echad Ov. Okay, right. Al Kulan Omer Rabbi Yechim and Zakai. About all of these braises that we've been learning until now, about all of the potential for deceptive practices, about all of them, said Rabbi Yechim and Zakai, Oilim Oimer, Oilim Loi Oimer. I don't know if it's better to give a shir about this or better not to. Why? Because im oimer shem yimudar amoim. Those people that unfortunately engage in it. Oh, I never thought of that, right? That's such a smart idea. I'll make a machak one side thin and one side thicker, and I'm going to make bigger scales and smaller scales. You know, I know that's wonderful ideas. Vim lo yoimer, if I don't say it, shem yimudar amoim, and tell me the chum bekim amasidin. They don't know what's going on here. They would know. They don't understand. The rabbis, they only know how to go and learn Gemara and Chumash. They don't understand modern day business practices. So, Frank Timora, since Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh said, Oilim Oimer, Oilim Loi Oimer, so what did he take to do? He boiled Omra Oilai Omer. So, did he give a shir about these things or didn't he? Omra Shimon Barav Yitzhak, Omra, yes, ultimately he did give a shir. What is about his concern about the Ramayim? My Haikra Omra, he based it on the following pasuk. The pasuk says, Ki Yeshorim Darki Hashem, the ways of Hashem are all honest. V'tzadikim Yelchimam, and the tzadikim will walk on those honest paths. Unfortunately, those people that are sinners, they are going to be nichshol in all of these things. What can I do? But hey, Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah is Yashar. I'm going to teach honesty, and hopefully they will do what they have to.
We have the same problem, I think, later on this Masechta, where we talk about how to detect if a document is forged or not.
Uh-huh.
And when we previously learned it, I was thinking, oh, this is a great class in how to be a forger. Because it tells you all the things, like, you know, you have to have a base achuza, and you have to be, make sure there's no room here to add lines or everything. We had a little bit of it earlier, but it comes up later on at the end of Bab Basra about all the detection of forgery, but it's also the instruction how to forge.
Gotcha. Tan Rabban, stay in the bite, right in the bright. Lisaso Ovul Ba Mishpat, Ba Mida, Ba Mishkol, Uva Mesura. What's the difference between all of these things? Well, Mishpat we know means like an abezin that the Tayonim have to go and paskin correctly and don't take bribes and things of that nature. What is Mida, Mishkol, Ba Mesura? So, Timur, Mida means Midas Karka. What happens if you happen to be a surveyor and, for instance, you have two shutfim that are splitting up the property? So when you're using that same measuring rope, don't use the same rope for one during the summer months and for the other one during the winter months. What difference does it make, summer months, winter months? Because either the rope can shrivel or shrink, or it can expand or contract. So during the summer it's going to presumably expand a little bit, and then during the winter it's going to contract a little bit. So if you're going to go and measure for Uvein in one and Shimon in the other, he might get a couple inches more and he might get a couple inches less. Or that the land itself, Rishbam says, happens to be more yavish at one time in one season and it's more moist in the other season, so that can have an effect on the rope that you're using. So always use the same standard rope, but measure for both of them under the same climate or the same weather. So you don't Chas v'Sholem make a mistake. You're not doing it intentionally, but just Medidas Karka's got to be perfect. Don't put your mishkaloisa means your weights, and bury them in melach in salt. And here we have machlokes Rishbam and Tosis.
Yes.
What does that mean? According to Rishbam, by putting it in salt, we're afraid that maybe some salt will get attached to it, and therefore the mishkal, this weight, is going to get heavier. So what's the problem with that mishkal hevier?
Cheat the mocher.
He's going to cheat the mocher. In other words, you have a retailer who's going to the wholesaler. He says, I want to buy from you a pound of potatoes or whatever. And he says, okay, see, I'm putting the pound mishkal weight on one side, put the potatoes on the other side. And it turns out that he had previously put that mishkal in salt. And now it's not just, although on the top of it it says it's a 1 pound weight, it's really 1 pound 3 ounce weight. Because now it's heavier as a result of the additional melech. That's how Rashbam lives. Toisi says it's the other way around. That what? That by putting it in salt, it's going to eat away at the mishkal. So although it says a pound on it, in no time it's going to be worth only, not 16 ounces, only 15 ounces or 13 ounces, whatever. And therefore he's going to cheat the customer. He thinks he's getting a weight when he's really a weight of a pound. He's only getting 0.9 of a pound or whatever. You see the Toisi is here on the side. It's right parallel to Gemara. Peter Shekuntus when they shoot machbit by adding the melach, it gets heavier. They nearly made it up. The mashter to moicher ayri dumya de mesura, as we're going to see in the Gemara shortly, that we're not talking about that he is the lokeach buying it from the wholesaler and he's cheating the wholesaler by using this weight. You can have theoretically also, I don't know. In the good old days, maybe customers brought their own weights in, and they said to them, "Oh, you don't have to bar it. Leave your weights over in the other scale. I brought my own weight. Oh, they look fine. It says a pound on it." And those weights, unfortunately, he was machbid. He made them heavier by adding some melech on the bottom. So Rabbi Netam says it's not mashma that way because our gemara is mashma, as we'll see in another moment. To mamoicha ayri, that we're not talking about the customer bringing in a heavier weight, but a moicher is using a weight that he put into melech. This is talking about the foam that we mentioned just a short moment ago, which we're going to talk about shortly in the Gemara. So we're talking about the moicher. Rather, it cuts away and it draws from the
deteriorates.
And therefore, they're going to be worth not worth less, but going to weigh less. They say on top of it a pound, it's really only going to be 0.9 of a pound. Is a machlekes. Good. Vaitu, we go back to the Braisa. We talked about Mida, that's Medidas Karka. We talked about the Mishkal, and now we talk about Bamasura. Bamasura is referring to a Kli, and specifically a person who's pouring off Lamashal, you said beer. You're pouring beer into a Kli. If you go and pour it very, very quickly, you're going to get this huge foam on top, or huge head on top. So don't do it so quickly, shliyarsiach, that it shouldn't heat up and bubble. It doesn't mean literally heating up and bubbling. It just means that you're going to create this huge foam on top, like the head of beer. And therefore, after it finally settles, 10 minutes later, you'll see you only have a half a glass. You don't have a full glass of beer. And therefore, be careful when you're dealing with kalim and you're pouring one to the other. And the Gemara now says a kavachayimah. These Mesura Kalim were small, and they only contained in them 1/36 of a loik. We'll see what that means in a moment.
Wow.
Very small Kalim. Hekmidu Lefteirin, so he said, no, be careful. And Rishbam says, if you're talking about a Kli, which is only 1/36, how much foam could you have at the top of it? Maybe 1/100th of a loik. We're not talking about the whole thing is foam, we're talking about that part of that mesura, because you poured so quickly, you got on the top a little foam, so how much did you get? 1/100th of a loaf, a very small amount. If you're starting with a hin, as you know we had in the Gemara a few days ago, is 12 loigen. So can you imagine if you're not talking about a mesura, which is only 1/36 of a loaf, but you're talking about a big hin, or you're talking about a chatziah hin, or a shlishis a hin, or a viyas a hin, or... Since Revi Sahin means three loigen, the next one the Gemara says is, or of a loig, or if you have a loig size, or chatzi loig, half of a loig, or a revius of a loig.
A 36th of a loig is tiny, right. I mean, it's so tiny, because a revius is like 3 ounces or
3.3.
So. Right, so it's like, it's 4 to 36,
what you're saying is correct, and that makes the Kal V'chaymer, not just stronger. The Kal V'chaymer, Ben Benoishel Kal V'chaymer, right. A real Kal V'chaymer, there is makbid on this, a kli, which is like the size of a teaspoon, make sure that chavad and avad is something which is much, much larger. Yeah. V'chatzi loik, and then v'rvias loik, and then v'chatzi tuman v'ochla. A tuman apparently is a, until now we spoke about rvias, this is an eighth, and then ochla we're going to see tomorrow at the very top, you'll see the top line, ochla, k'vakam v'ochla, so stay tuned for tomorrow, m'yatz Hashem. So any one of those kelim is larger than the mesura. Then of course those kelim amadi you have to be makvid not to go and pour quickly, where you're going to have that foam, and then afterwards it'll settle, and you'll see that it's much, much less. You have the same problem also, even not only in business, but you have certain wines like the Bartanura wine. If you pour it quickly for Friday night for Kiddush, often it makes a foam, not foam like beer,
right,
but a foam of quite
exactly.
And then afterwards, by the time you finish Kiddush, you notice it's you don't have a full cuss. Right. It's only pointed. Exactly. So you should go and pour it slowly, or wait afterwards until it settles, and then pour some.
Have a bigger cup.
Have a bigger cup, and it can only, but still, it's going to settle
proportionally.
Just proportionally.
That's the whole thing about the hand, the chatzigin.
Exactly. Omer v'yinam marav. Also, the onam sheyisha mida chaseira or yaseira b'toich beisai. You're not allowed to even hold on to such a mida in your home, even though you're no longer using it, because you might come to use it one time, as we'll see, in an emergency situation. So, also, don't even hold on to a mida chaseira or yaseira. In other words, it says on it a mida is a container. So it says on the top of it, gallon. Yeah, but unfortunately, part of it has fallen off over the years, and now it's no longer gallon, so only 0.9. Or you say it holds more, because again, if you're moicher or lekech, somebody could be cheated out unintentionally. Even if you're talking about a chamber pot, why people don't use potties to go and measure wine and oil and sugar and salt and all the rest. But says Rishbam, if you happen to be desperate, what you might do is wash it out thoroughly and again thoroughly, and then use it for measuring, because I know that this potty holds 5 ounces, whatever, and you might use it. Not normally, but if you're desperate. If you see about 6-7 lines into the Rishbam, but feel it, avit.
It's marked up, on this urinal, you have a mida on it, and so this is a 1 liter.
It was once used as a gallon container. It got a big dent in it, now it holds 9/10 of a gallon.
Or maybe they were like the hospital, they wanted to measure how much came
in. It's a graduated urinal?
That's a different thing. It's a clean.
The doctors wanted to know,
The speed.
So, Afilu Avit, just looking at the Rishbam, 6-7 lines in, Afilu Avit, the Ikala Mechish. Sometimes Shiroi is going to wash it out thoroughly. Umavetanufa take out all the schmutz. Umaydebain is going to use it to go and measure something. You got to go and.
Don't go
eat
in this guy's house.
Yeah, that's another story. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. Umra Papa Leomar El Ba'asu Deloy Chasimi. Ba'asu De Chasimi Eloy Chozi Chasima Loy Shokel. What is chasimi? Chasimi means, like you would say today, that you get a certificate of fitness or certificate of appraisal or something attached to the kli.
A chasima.
And you want to make
certification.
A certification that this is in fact a bona fide measure, in effect of a bona fide whale and scale and all that. It has the best housekeeping certificate of greatness or whatever it is. It doesn't have a chasima toiva. If it shows exactly, it's a sign scale. It's a, I don't know, from Kalman Klein or somebody like that saying that this is 100% good. Then you're okay. If the person who's getting the benefit of this scale, if he's not going to go and see on it, that chasima lo shakli, to say I'm not using that. Mr. I want a signed scale. I want a signed container. I'm not going to take any one of these because there might be, it might be fraud, or maybe it's broken over the years or whatever. And even those places where you didn't buy signed containers, that's only where there are no mahandisi. Mahandisi, explains Rishbam, means there are no inspectors. But if you have inspectors that are coming and knocking on everybody's door from time to time to check out all of the weights of the scales, then you don't have to worry about it, because I know that the mahandisi was here yesterday. Everything had to be perfect, otherwise you'll get a fine, or you have to throw it out, or whatever. A mahandisi, less limbar. But if you have mahandisi, you don't have to worry. V'lohi. Even if it's loy chasimi and no mahandisi, all of those eights are wonderful, but zimnan sometimes, to mikri ben eshmash, it's right before Shabbos, right before Yom Tov, or whatever, and you don't have time to go and take the signed kli from the shelf or waiting for the mahandasi, you're under a lot of pressure. Schnell, I have to get to shul, a lot. Or mikri b'shokan, you might take it after all, so therefore...
Don't have it in your house.
Don't have it in your house under any circumstances, even there, chosim, not chosim, your mahandasi, nish mahandasi, because I'm concerned about that there will be occasions where, because of the pressures, people are going to use it, and somebody is going to lose out as a result. Tana mihochi, we talk a little bit to the Brice, le yasha oda mida chaseira yisei b'tech beisei, v'afili yavit shel mei mei raglai. Aval oisehu, and then now we could go into various sizes and weights and shapes. That mention will continue tomorrow.
Quick question.
Have a wonderful day.
What about putting